Okay. We're ready for a mitzvah gimel here in the Minchas Chinuch after quite a few shurim on Puravu and then Bris Mila. I'm not sure how many we'll do on the mitzvah gimel, but I am sure that it will be less than we did previously since it's a smaller treatment here in the Minchas Chinuch. Mitzvah gimel skips all the way to Parshas Vayishlach. And in fact, it's the last mitzvah, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, that's quoted from Sefer Bereishis. And of course, this is the mitzvah of Gid Hanasha. So before we see the Minchas Chinuch discussion, as we did previously, let's see the Sefer HaChinuch's presentation, which is actually quite interesting and fascinating in some regards, and then we'll head into the Minchas Chinuch itself. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Gimel, quoting the Pasuk, the famous Pasuk for Yishlach Yaakov, from that Parsha of Yishlach, Yeshba Mitzvah, Lo Saaseh Achas, one mitzvah, a negative commandment, what is that? Al Kain Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael as Gid Hanasha. After Yaakov fights with the angel and he's injured, and his Gid Hanasha and his sciatic nerve, the Torah tells us, therefore, for all generations, Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael, the descendants of Yaakov will not eat the Gid Hanasha. So now comes along the Sefer HaChinuch based on the various statements of Chazal and says as follows. Pahai lo yochlu lo nemar al derech sipur. This is not just a story. Kolomer b'fnei shi'iro dover zeh ba'av nimno'im habanim mil echol oso hagid. That because of what happened to the father, the children can't eat the gid. Ela azharas Hashem yisbarach shleyachlu. This is a bona fide source of a lo saseh from the Torah. Mishar sheh mitzvah. What is the tam? What is the underlying rationale or philosophy of the mitzvah? So fascinating. I don't know if I didn't know this Chazal or this Sefer HaChinuch, I ever would have guessed such a thing. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Kedei sheetiyah remez l'Yisrael, sh'af al pi sheyisvelu saros rabos v'gluyos, mi'ad amim mi'ad b'nei Yisav, even though throughout Jewish history the Jewish people will suffer at the hands of the nations and suffer at the hand of the descendants of Esav, Shiyu betuchim shelo yovdu or yovedu. They should be always sure, netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, that no matter how bad the persecution gets, the Jewish people will never be destroyed. El liolam ya'amod za'aram revach lanu. We call Yisrael. El liolam ya'amod za'aram ushmam. But rather, forever, ever and ever, the Jewish people will survive. Ziyovolam gov yugolam yadzar. So just like Yaakov was able to persevere, even though he was wounded, he was able to go on and defeat the Sar Shel Esav, so too we will suffer through, but nevertheless ultimately emerge victorious from the Golos.
What does it mean in the first paragraph that this is a mitzvah from Hashem and not because this happened? Does that mean that you would have thought it's not a mitzvah?
So we'll see. We shall see that, in fact, it may be additional layers of meaning. But at this point, yes, the Torah, I mean, the Sefer HaChinuch, I think, at this point, is just saying something more basic, even than I think what we'll get to. And that is, you shouldn't think that somehow this just became a family convention. Yeah, exactly. I'm saying, like, you know, that the Jewish, you know, that this is, you know, that the Jewish people, either Yaakov on his own decided, or the people themselves decided as a testament, you know, but certain families, you know, that every year at such and such a date, they go out to the woods and they do whatever, as a remembrance that our great forefathers.
Well, it's like Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving.
Okay, fair enough. So you shouldn't think that that was some kind of a social convention or a custom. So, Kamash Mulan. Yeah, now, the fact is.
The Havamin, I think, is because the unusual Al came. It's not something that.
Correct, but that's correct. You don't usually find that that's correct. And further.
But the time of the mitzvah is still related directly to.
Oh, so how related or not, that we'll have to see. Okay? That's actually from the Gemara and the Mishnah itself. So, getting back to the Chinuch. Remezehu, why is this a hint for this perseverance theme of Netzach Yisrael? Remezehu lefisha oso malach shino. Where's that got? What's that got to do with the sciatic nerve? Because we have a tradition, as the Chinuch says, al pi Kabbalah. It doesn't mean here in the sense of Kabbalistic or mystical. Shehaya saro shel Esav. But the tradition, the oral tradition, is that who was Yaakov fighting with? None other than the angel of Esav. Rotsa la'akro li'akov min olam hu b'zaro v'lo yachlu lo. And this wasn't stamazai a fight, but this was a clash of world views, so to speak, and Esav was trying to destroy Yaakov, but he was not able to do that. So since he was unable to destroy Yaakov, tziru b'negiyas ha'yarach, but he injured him in the thigh. Kein Zera Esav Mitzayr Lezer Yaakov. So too for all generations, the descendants of Esav will be Mitzayr, the Zera of Yaakov. But nevertheless, Lebesof Kielam Yeshua Mem. But in the end, like Yaakov persevered and was victorious, so too will we. Kamosha Matina, we give the mashal. Ba'av Shazarchalo Hashemesh Lerfuoso Venosha Minatar. So too you can have like a father who's suffering from something, and then one day he was able to get saved from that pain. Kein Yizrachlanu Hashemesh Shamashiach. Yirpeinu Mitzarenu V'yigalenu Amen V'mehera V'yamenu. So too, one day we, the people, will be healed from this pain of the Zera Esav, and we'll have the Mashiach.
The zchus of not eating it, everything, and we don't.
Not the zchus of that. No, it's not a zchus. It's not a question of the zchus. It's a remez. This is a metaphysical or a meta historical truth, but it's hinted at by the mitzvah of Giran Asher. It's not shot that because we don't eat Giran Asher, therefore Netzach Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael is implanted in the Bria. And in microcosm, it's mimicked by what happened with Yaakov and the Sar. Just like he tried to destroy him and he was injured. Taka, he was injured, but he persevered. So too, throughout all history, Hashem promises, even if you're injured, you will persevere. The hint to that, to give us chizuk, that's what a schar, which is chizuk, when we think, oh, Shvert Tzayin Yid, and the goal is so hard, remember, Giran Asher, just like Yaakov persevered and made it through, so too you will be able to as well. Dinei HaMitzvah, what are the halachos? Mahu Agid HaOsr, which nerve, which sinew is Osr? V'chatut She'anu Chayavim L'chatet Acharov. Yeah, there's different extra things that are kind of capillaries or what have you, these things which spread out from the actual Agid, which also you have to get rid of. Ube'ezeh Behema Noheg, which animals does this apply to? Umineman Anli Kuro, who's believed to say they removed the Gid, the Yeter Prata, and all these details. Mevarin Beperek Shvi Michulin, a very difficult perek, the seventh perek of Chulin. Noheges Mitzazu B'chol Mokum B'chol Zman, it's again like the Beit HaMikdash or anything like that. Zahar move in the Kavus. Now this is significant. It's a good trivial pursue question. This is the first mitzvah that is also known by in the Kavus. Right? Puravu was only for men, and Bris Milah was only for men. This is the first time that the Sefer HaChinuch has his famous words. Nahagin v'zachar in the Kavus is applicable to women and men. Over Aleha v'achal gid echad afilu hupachal mikazayas. There's no shear, even the most minimal amount. Oshachal gazayas mikiranosha gadol loke. He is chayiv. And it's a low sasha.
That means there's no shear if you eat a gid because it's a dover chashuv.
We don't know why. He didn't explain why. We'll have to see the mechatzchina.
No, because it says, Oshachal kezayiv migid nashagadol.
Correct.
There is a shear if you don't eat.
Interesting. Okay, that's an interesting reading. Okay, we'll see. That's a good hara. I'm not sure if you're right or not. We'll see. That's not a bad diuk. But we'll see. That hopefully we'll get to that later in the Minchas Chinuch. Not bad. Right? That's in Oth Gimel or Zion, depending on which volume or version you have. Okay. Anyway, so let's see the Minchas Chinuch itself, and Emir Tashem, there will be two issues which are brought up by the Minchas Chinuch, which we can elaborate on, which are very interesting in some interesting lumdus as well. Says the Minchas Chinuch, Dinei HaMitzvah. Ayin, the Rambam, Perches, Neim Achalos Asuros, the Turin, Yerdea, Semen Samachai, Mavur B'Shulchan Aruch, Ain't Arki Laharich. You know, if it's in the Shulchan Aruch, what do you need me for, says the Menachas Menach. Nevertheless, don't ask a rabbi twice. Ach, Be'ezer Hashem, nevertheless, with Hashem's help, Ovi Ha'aros Misvarim, Omasha Chanan, Osi Hashem Yisbarach. I'll give you some Ha'aros that I've seen in other Svarim, or some original thoughts that I have. The act of Ktsas, Dine Giron Asher. I'll give you some details, some highlights. Noeg v'behema v'chaya, Tahorim. This is going to be an important point which we're going to get back to. Says the Minchas Chinuch, he tells us that the halacha is that the halacha of Giron Asher applies whether it's a behema or a chaya, domesticated or a wild animal, but only if it's an animal that would be otherwise kosher, that is Tahor. I feel a nevela for treifa shalem. Now, even if it's a nevela or a treifa, what's a nevela and a treifa? A nevela is an animal that died by any means other than a kosher shita. And a treifa is an animal that has this kind of a mum that it would have died within a year. So you did a shita, but then you check it and you see that it would have died. So
the
it's a
be- so the whole animal is not a
not permitted. So what's the chiddush?
So the Gemara, so the Sefer Chinuch says, if you have an animal that's actually kosher, so then in theory you could have an issue of gid hanasha, whether you actually shechted a kosher animal and you're eating it in the butcher shop and he's doing it and they're going to have to remove it, or it's an animal that you can't eat because it's an avel or a trefa, but the point is it was a kosher animal, it was a cow, as opposed to a trefa animal, a lion or whatever. So then the isser of gid hanasha does not apply. Now it happens to be that this is a machlokas tanoim. This is actually a machlokas tanoim, but that's part of it. It's not entirely, but that's part of the discussion. We're going to see that he's going to get into it. Okay. It's also going to be discussed. Good questions, all, but it's all going to be discussed. Says the Minchas Menuchah in continuation, the im behema v'chaya. What's he referring to? The Pasuk refers to, he give you the abbreviation here in the Sefer HaChinuch, but the Pasuk refers to the Kaf Yerach, which is, they literally translated as the spoon of the thigh. What's pshat, the spoon of the thigh? On the top of the thigh, right, but we're not referring just to the joint, we're referring to the what's it called? The flesh. Now let's assume that in some very, very, let's look at it in way, here's our animal. Okay? Doesn't look like an animal?
Oh my golly, keep your day job.
I thought this was it.
Heart.
So this is about like the shedra, this is like the spine, the back. So this nerve starts somewhere about here, comes off that, and goes down into the leg. Okay, this is the gid hanasha. Now the pasuk refers to this, what's it called? Kaf Yerach, which is like this round bit of flesh, of muscle or tendon or whatever it is, which exactly as Barry said, is covering and surrounding the top of the thigh or the joint. The Pasuk refers to that, and the Halacha assumes that that's part of the requirement. In fact, as we'll see, that's why there's no Halacha of Gid Hanasha typically, let's say, by an oaf, because it doesn't have a Kaf Yerach. And anything that doesn't have a Kaf Yerach, even though it does have a sciatic nerve, is not going to be included. Okay? So now, in light of this, which is, of course, eminently clear by my drawing, go look back in the Sefer, in the Minchas Chinuch. What does he say? He's referring, again, he's giving you cliff notes of obviously some complex stuff. But he says, Im behema v'chaya, kaf yirechem oruch v'lo ogul. Let's say you have an animal which is either a unique species or the particular animal is deformed, has some kind of a deformity, and instead of having like a round, that's why it's called the kaf yerach, that's why it's called the spoon, because it's typically round. But let's say the form of this animal's legs are not that it has that kind of a joint, but rather instead of being like that kind of at an angle with the surrounding joint, let's say it's all straight. It's a kind of a one straight long leg. Would you say that such an animal has an isra gid hanasha? Sataka to suffolk in the Gemara, says the Minchas Chinuch. What's the suffolk? Right, so let's say you have a freakish cow which has a deformed leg. So do you say you go by the species of cow? The species of cow typically has a kaf yerach, therefore even though this one doesn't, the gid hanasha will be asur. Or you say you go by dafka, this particular animal, and therefore since it doesn't have the kaf yerach, maybe it doesn't have the isur. V'chein of, as I referred to before, birds, which typically do not have a kaf yarach, and therefore they typically do not have nisr gid nasha, im nimsa shakaf yarecho, kireach behema gamke nibaya. So, same thing, what if you have a deformed bird where you taka do have a rounded calf muscle or something like that? Also, same suffix, the exact opposite direction. Umisveke asr vein lokin. So, since we're talking about nisr daraisa, we're machmir, but if you did violate it anyway, we wouldn't give you malchus, mi suffix. Mavur berambam. Furthermore, another piece of animal physiology, shnei gidin hein v'yerech. In fact, there are two. What I drew as the gid hanasha is actually in Chazal more precisely referred to as the gid hapnimi, the inner gid. However, there is a description of a second gid. However, this is subject to a long-standing, I think hundreds of years, if I'm not mistaken, machlokas between what's known as minag Ashkenaz and minag Teimon. I don't know about general Sfardim, but I know that's referred to as Vinikemun. Where is the second Gid, which is known as the Gid Hachitzo? Is it somewhere about here, or is it somewhere about here? But there's some second Gid where there's a Machlokas, exactly which one that is. And about that, says the Gemara, be that as it may, whichever one it is, but says the Gemara, as the Sefer Minchas Kinchir quotes, Hapnimi Aser, the inner one, that's the one I referred to, that's what we always call the Gidan Asher, that's for sure Aser Midaraisa. Hachiton Edo Midarabanan, but the outer one, whichever one, depending on your minog, you accept it is, that's Aser Midarabanan. Bein B'yarach Yimein, Bein B'yarach Smol, Noeg Iser Gidan Asher, both hind legs, if they have the Gidan Asher, are going to be Yasa. So this is just some of the basics before we get to anything really interesting in Lebedik. Okay? So this is the Gidan. If I'm not mistaken, our own David Lapin knows how to do Nikur. He was trained, I think, when he used to live in Pittsburgh, on how to remove it. Very, very complicated. I wouldn't have the first clue, B'chlal. If you guys are interested, maybe we could arrange some kind of a field trip. It would be very cool. Only if we have a good steak afterwards. Fair enough.
How come we don't do Nikur?
Who said it's sometimes yes, sometimes no. I read an essay on it today. I was just looking up a little bit, and different communities have had the custom to or not to do Nikur. It doesn't seem to be like there's any halachic reason not to do it. Other than that, it's very complicated, and you didn't always have people who knew how to do it. And B, it's not always worthwhile because the Gayim are usually more than happy to buy the hind legs, so to buy a hind quarter. If I'm not mistaken, I think there are some communities where to this day, though, because at some point in history they had in Kabbalah not to do it, I think that they have nevertheless, I don't remember where, but there was some community, was it New York, L.A.? I don't remember where it was. But if I'm not mistaken, the restaurant El Gaucho in Yerushalayim, I'm right now discussing Basar Kafoy or other issues with their kashrus. But Lamaisa, they have a hashkacha, and you can get a hind quarter steak there. They do nikur. So they were looking to open up, I don't know if it was New York, I can't remember where now, but I read about it earlier today. They were looking to open up somewhere else, and they were in negotiations for a while with a certain kashrus agency. In the end, they didn't open in that place because that their Kabbalah was not to do, they didn't do it. But again, as far as I know, there's no real halachic reason that B'shita anyone wouldn't do it. Other than that, it wasn't always easy to find somebody who knew how to do it. And as I said, it was also just as easy to sell the hindquarters and plenty of other meat.
But don't you sell it as a tray for meat? Of course you do.
Yeah, you're allowed. Basar b'cholav is really the only type of... I mean, again, schorav, b'dvar mitzvayim, these things are all... these are complicated sugyas, a little bit off of our...
They treat it like an avela.
I guess on some level, right, which is we know to this day, right, in the Schlachthaus, when they, not on the Vela, Trefa, when they do the Shrita, but that's I know what you meant. When you do the Trefa, you realize that it can't eat it, so then we get pennies on the dollar for it, because they know we need to sell it, but at least we get something for it. Exactly right. Okay? So now, let's look at something very interesting now in the next paragraph, and if you have the new Minchas Chinuch Oz Beis. Says the Minchas Chinuch something that he alluded to, but now he's going to get back to and use it as a springboard for something that's really going to shock you, perhaps. Eino noheg ela bebehema v'chaya tahora avlo v'tmeim. As we said, there's a machlokas tanoim, but we paskin, the Gid Anosha only applies to an animal that by its species would be a kosher animal. The Kaimalon, Kerab Shimon, Chulin Perakid Anosha Kofal Sumbralas. That's a machlokas tanoim. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon. How does he learn it from Alan? Even though, as I said, in that Gemara they do have a discussion that refers to Enisr Chal Isser, but Lamaisa he has a special Gzeres HaKosov.
What do you mean,
an animal that would be treif, a lion. Take a treif animal. There's no, so Enachanami, you can't eat it because it's treif. But there's no additional Isser of Gid Anosha. If you ate the Gid Anosha of a lion.
You're not over the
Gidon Hashem. Correct. But Pashtus, that's right. And how do we know that from? Says the Minchas Chinuch, he quotes from the Gemara. What's the Svara? The Nafgalon, because the same pasuk from our Parsha. Alkain lo yochlu. So what do we derive from the Alkain? That it's only for this, for this reason, you don't eat it. Al Gidon Hashem, implying that any for. mitzad anything else, it would have been mosher, mutter, i.e. it would have been kosher. Misha b'saro mutter, only something that would otherwise have been mutter, but dafka this giranosha is osur, then noheg iser gid. Of Misha b'saro osur, but something that was already osur anyway, it's not al kain, because it was osur anyway, and therefore, eno noheg iser gid. Paradoxically, Rabbi Shimon holds, there's no additional iser giranosha, and again, that is the shita that we passing like, notwithstanding the fact that it is debated in the Mishnah there. I am Mishnah Lamelech. Are you ready? Okay. I'll take that as a final affirmation. Thank you, Yosef. I can always count on you. I am Mishnah Lamelech Shem. Shevi b'shem harajba. The gam ba'adam. Noheg iser giranosha. In case you're not sure what we just read, that's referring to Hannibal Lecter. Cannibalism. If you're eating the flesh of a human... Well, that's what we're going to discuss, Yosef. If you're eating the flesh of a human and you eat his giranosha, is there a specific iser d'oraisa of giranosha by a human giranosha? Says the Mishnah Lamelech. According to the Rashba, the answer will be yes. Period. End of the Mishnah Lamelech. So says the Minchas Chinuch, and this is a Svara Alamdus, that the Tzlach, you know, familiar with the Sefer, the Tzach stands for Tzion L'Nefesh Chaya, that's the note of Yehuda's Chedushim HaShas, and also Shar HaMelech, they both say the same Lamdus that the Minchas Chinuch is about to say, that this Diuk of the Mishnah Lamelech in the Rashba is really based on a Rashba Lishitoso, which may even be in dispute by a Rambam Lishitoso, by which I mean, says the Minchas Chinuch, V'nira, the Harajba letameos ozel, the Rajba is lishitaso, shesover the baser adam, mutter min haTorah. That min mida araisa, says the Rajba, you can look high, you can look low, you will not find anywhere in the Torah in which it says that you cannot be a cannibal.
We
don't walk on four legs either.
No, the fact that it says that it doesn't tell you how to shecht it or whatever it is.
That's an animal.
According to the Rashba, why do you need a pasuk to tell you?
That I don't want. This is not a shiur on cannibalism. So we could have one if you want.
We did say such a totally usher.
No, but it's a funny lesson. The Rashba. Why do you need?
This is a big thing. The Rashba holds, and he's not the only one. The Rashba holds that, of course, it's disgusting, it's revolting, but technically speaking, it's only usher mitzvah rabbanon. Cannibalism is not usher d'oraisa, and therefore comes out that a human is in essence a basar tahor. And what did we just say? The giranosha applies to a behema or a chaya Torah. So whether the human is a behema or a chaya, I guess it depends on his behavior, how wild or how domesticated he is. At various points of my childhood, I was called both, and other things, by my teachers, and sometimes by my parents. But lemaisa, it's tahor. So according to the Rashba, it's daraisa mutter. So if it's daraisa mutter, then the giranosha could become osur, just like the giranosha of a kosher animal. However, he continues. V'huvudvarav, he says, but v'agin mishnah, perek beiz, v'machos asuros, imke noe gid de besaro mutter. As we just said, since paradoxically, according to the Rashba, midaraisa it's mutter, the giranosha could be osur. However, says the Menachas Chinuch, avalashitas harambam, sham beperek beiz, the old shitos the baser adam aser min haTorah ba'asei. There's an iser asei according to the Rambam that prevents you meat or rice from being a cannibal. In Cain, according to the Rambam, it comes out the sorrow aser meat or rice aser v'have kitmeya the ain get nohe k'moshik saru l'mala. So again, paradoxically, because according to the Rambam, the human flesh is aser meat or rice. It's also midaraisa, it's like a behemoth tmeh, it's like the lion, and therefore giranosha is paradoxically not going to be shayach by basar adam. After all, says the Minchas Chinuch, umali sheb saro asra b'lahav o ba'asei. What's the difference if the reason you can't eat the lion is a los asei, and the reason you can't be a cannibal is an isra asei? The mice, if the basar is asr, then you don't have the pasuk of al kain. If you don't have al kain, then the giranosha is not going to be chal. Kevin d'humen haTorah b'saro aser, Karinan Bay Kach Nir Lani Astaiti is, and I mentioned Shuv Matosi Be Shara Melech. So it comes out, says the Minchas Chinach, he assumes that we have a Machalokas Rishonim, whether Gira Nosha, which I guess we could add is the least of your problems if you're a cannibal, but Gira Nosha is going to be Shayach on a Daraisa for a cannibal, for human flesh. According to the Rashba, it'll come out that since cannibalism is mutter midaraisa, kiranosha is asur. The Rambam says cannibalism is asur midaraisa, says Menchas Chinuch, cannibalism would be mutter. Would be mutter.
Is there any reason to dispute? I don't think there is the assumption that Yisra says the same as the.
In this context, I don't. Not necessarily. Other than that. I want to just mention that I saw in the Sefer who pointed out that the second point that assumes that the Rambam would argue Lashitaso, that was not in the original Mishnah Lamelech. In fact, I saw in a Sefer called the Minchas Betzalel, he quoted, if I understood him correctly, I didn't have a chance to look it up, that the Prima Gadim may argue with that, that the Prima Gadim may assume that the Rambam might agree with the Rashba that the Gidar Nasha would be Usur. Why should that be? Because perhaps, and this goes back to the questions that you were asking in the beginning when we read the Chinuch about the story with Yaakov, to what extent is the fact that we learn this mitzvah from Yaakov Avinu relevant? And the Prima Gadim suggests that perhaps, if you would assume, if you want to learn that the Rambam agrees, perhaps the reason is because it goes back exactly to that point. Since the mocker for Gidar Nasha is with what? With Basar Adam. Because Yaakov Avinu's Yerach was the one that was affected. Therefore, says the Prima Gadim, or offers the Prima Gadim a suggestion, maybe the Rambam, even though he holds that Basar Adam is Asar Midaraisa, and therefore based on the Mishnah and the Gemara's Klolim, that if it's Asar Midaraisa, it's a Tmeya, you can't have Gidar Nasha. But perhaps, according to the Rambam, Basar Adam is an exception to that, given the fact that the paradigm for everything was Basar of an Adam, i.e. Yaakov's thigh. That seems to be the Prima Gadim suggestion. However, and this is from Menachas Pesal, he points out that that would seem to be Shver, because the Gemara seems to say, and as the Chinuch says, that the story is just a story. But that's not really the mocker. In fact, this is also part of a discussion, Machlokas Rishonim, from when was Gidar Nasha Asur? So some say, from the time of Yaakov. Then Yaakov were chayiv in it. Before Matan Torah, after all. The Pasuk says, Al-Kain. Right then and there, Yaakov limps back to the next morning to the family, and he says, guess what, guys? Can't eat the Gidar Nasha anymore. However, other Rishonim say, no, it was from Matan Torah. If the Isser was only given for the first time in Matan Torah, how come it says back in Vayishlach Al-Kain? So the Rishonim say, this is from the Midrashim, I think in the footnotes here, he says it also, footnotes of the Numis Chaskelich, he says it here on the Chinuch, that therefore, that the idea was that Moshe wrote it, as he was getting it in the desert, in the Midbar, but he dafka wrote it with the Al-Kain, so that people should, you know, they're wondering, Mechatesi, I didn't know where a kosher animal should have the hind legs, Usser. So the answer is, it's not really the hind leg, it's just this particular nerve, because of what happened to Yaakov. But not that it was Usser from then. So it's the same issue. To what extent do we look at it as a halachic makor or not? So if I'm reading this Sefer correctly, the Prima Gadim may suggest that it really has some halachic bona fides, and that might allow him to assume that even the Rambam would agree. But this Sefer, the Minchas Betzalel that I saw, and others, and really the Minchas Chinuch himself, really the Minchas Chinuch and others, all the other people, as I said, the Tzlach and all these others, who assume that no, the Rambam would argue. So perhaps the reason is because even though we have this model of Yaakov, that wasn't really the halachic source, and therefore we're just left with the basic rule of the Gemara. If it's Tmeya, there's no Gidar Nasha, only if it's Tahor. And since the Rambam holds that Basar Adam is Tmeya, therefore presumably he would argue even on this. Okay, so just in case you had any plans, just be careful as you're eating Basar Adam not to eat the Gidar Nasha according to the Rambam.
I mean, the mouth didn't eat the Gidar.
Al-Kain, Al-Kain. Okay. What? No, we're definitely not. Don't, Yosef, I don't want you to get confused. Don't share any of this with your mother, okay?
Yeah.
That's a machlokas, whether cannibalism is asr mita rice from mita rabbanon. But it's definitely you can't eat it.
It's not kosher, right? It's not
for sure not.
But what about for goyim also?
No, they shouldn't eat it either.
Just like that?
Yeah, no, don't eat it. Okay, you're sure we're not going to be confused?
Yes, we're not going to be confused. But the thing is, don't eat.
Yeah, that's the take-home message for tonight.
Right.
If your mom asks what you learn, you say, don't eat humans.
Right, don't eat humans. Right. Don't eat people.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yosef, and make sure you can come back to your shiur next week.
Sure.
Okay. Weiter. Let's
do nothing.
Okay, let's do one more point, which is also very interesting. Os Gimel here in the new Minchas Chinuch, bottom of the first column. Hinei HaRambam. Perk Tezvav, Halacha Yudzayin, Harbe Poskim Sovrim, the Ain Begidin Benosin Tam. Let's take a step back. This is a machlokas that comes up a number of times in Shas. Gid Anosha is just one form, but Gidin is what usually is translated sinews. So sinews, are they tendons, Mary? What are sinews? Or even less than tendons?
I think that I consider them tendons.
You do consider them, like, okay, so there are these sinewy things. Stringy things that hold things together? Would that be the bio for poets definition? Okay. So in general, there's a shaila that comes up in a number of places in the Gemara.
We translate the sciatic nerve.
Correct.
And so there's a difference between a nerve and a sinew, isn't there?
But in general, the word gidin refers.
You take a look, Alan, in that parak, you'll see that's the Masorah that we have that's referring to this thing called the sciatic nerve. That's what the Gidin Nosha is. But generally, the term Gidin refers not just to the sciatic nerve, but to the broader issue of these sinews. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara, either yesh or ein begidin beno sentam. Do we assume that these sinews that are part of the cow or any other animal, do they have the same flavor or taste as the rest of the animal? Again, presumably if they're stuck next to it, they would have it. But in theory, if you could wash off any external things implicitly, inherently, do they have the taste of the flesh or not? Because they're not meat, they're not muscle, they're this other thing, gidin. So that is a machlokes. So the big nafkamina, will be if you eat the gid of a non-kosher animal. If you eat the gid of a non-kosher animal, if it's beno sentam, then you did an avera. But the Gemara says if it's eino beno sentam, then it's basically like a piece of eight.
Wow, so if it gets mixed up.
So the Gemara says, and even according to the opinion that says ein v'gidin beno sentam, even gid anosha maybe there's no taste, but it's still osur, because that's exactly the kosher. The pasuk is beferish that it's osur, so no one's going to have a havamina that it's mutter. That may be an exception to the rule. The shaila is what would be true, in, but so this machlokas, on the one hand, is not relevant to Gid Anosha, because it's going to be usher no matter what you say, yesh or eim anot entam. On the other hand, as we're going to see the Minchas Chinuch develop right now, it still could be relevant for Gid Anosha anyway. But the primary nafkamina that's often quoted in the Gemara is what would be the halacha about the gid of a non-kosher animal. But here we're going to see how that machlokas could even have impact on Gid Anosha. So again, comes along the Minchas Chinuch and he says, HaRambam, how does the Rambam paskin and other poskim like him? Ein begidin v'nosin tam. Chemash meperk da'ad ma'achol sasurosa. Other places the Rambam seems to hold that way. Alkein l'da'ato ha'ochel gid'anosha mitmea potter mikulam. Or really should be kulam, not kulam. But it should be potter mikulam. Potter from nothing would be double negative. Pater mikulam would be a double negative. He doesn't mean that. He means pater mikulam. Why? The migid pater machmaser es hakosav. We just got through saying that. What? Yichab? Okay. Pater from the fact that it's treif, that there's no giranoshe by a treif animal. We just got through saying we pasken like Rabbi Shimon. Al-Kain, the drasha tells us that only something that would have been mutter, Al-Kain, is only usher because of the pasuk. So a gid anosha and a treif animal we already knew was not usher. So, what's the shaila? We want to know what's the status of a guy who ate the gid hanosha, not another gid, the gid hanosha of a treif animal. So there's two possible things he could have done wrong. You could give him a demerit for eating gid hanosha, and you could give him a demerit for eating treif. Comes along the Rambam and says, on the contrary, This is like that high school kid who had too much time on his hands. It's figuring out a way. How am I going to get at my Rebbe? Ah! I'm going to eat, get an usher of a treif animal. What are you going to say about that, Rosh Hashiva? Says the Rambam, Taka, nothing. You did nothing wrong. Get an usher, you didn't do anything wrong, because as we just said in the previous oaths, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, get an usher of a treif animal, there's no isra, get an usher. So say, okay, no isra, get an usher, but it's still treif, it's a treif animal. Says the Minchas Chinuch, not that, according to Rambam, not that either. Why? Ume isra tmeya, first end of the first white line here. Putter, also not violating that either. Dein beginim v'nosen tam. V'ha'ochel min ha'gidin v'ha'atzamos putter. Rak yisr gidan asha, after eitu the Torah asraso. The only gid, according to the Rambam, and those who pass can like him, of ein beginim v'nosen tam, the only one that's asr is gidan asha, because that's special tzeres ha'kosov. But otherwise, the bones or the sinews, they have no taste, and if there's no taste, they don't have a status of buster, and therefore, there's no isr. So if you, again, Nachamol, according to the Rambam, if you eat, get a nosh of a trace animal, what are you over?
Nothing.
So you go to the trouble of favoring a trace animal, you should eat the kid and leave the buster on.
I guess. I didn't say some mitzvah.
What was that, if you want? If you go to the trouble of being between Nikor and a trace animal, you should leave the meat and eat the kid.
Okay. So again, get a nosh. The buffer.
That's why you
treat. Okay? You ate gira nasha of a treif animal. So, blefum riata, you think like you're doing a double whammy. It says the Rambam, no. It's not gira nasha. No ister of gid ha nasha. Why? That doesn't matter if it's not in tam. Rabbi Shimon holds because the xeris because of a volcano. Exactly. Because of. Rabbi Shimon, right? Which we just... And what about Basar Tmeya? Now the Shaila Nafkamina. If you held Yesh Begin Benos and Tam, so at least they'd be in violation of trace. But since the Rambam holds Ein Begin Benos and Tam, therefore it has the halachic status of like eighth. It's like nothing. It's wood. It's nothing. And therefore, not... violating that either. Which means in the end, no isser, no
isser. What's putzer doesn't mean?
Huh? I didn't say you can get master yoga.
When you say putzer, I mean, it's not.
I don't know, is it isser or a button? I don't even know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Again, I wouldn't recommend it.
It
doesn't come up that often. Can you borrow this? It's just get a move to take this. See, put it in something. It has a date.
That's a, it's an interesting question. You know, is this, you know, isn't this just a machlokes and metzias? You know, and maybe you'll say, well, maybe in those days they couldn't be mevarah, but maybe now we can. So, you know, that comes up a little bit with blios. It's an interesting discussion some people are afraid to have, but some people have had about the premise of the whole kashrus world, right? That if I put the hot shtick flesh on my plate, so we assume that it absorbs blios, and therefore that's why I can't have put the milchix on it, macaroni and cheese for my midnight snack. So scientifically, is it really true? Is there some absorbed taste? I don't know. So that's part of the issue. To what extent do we assume that the blios are a metzius, or what are they just halachic reality? So I never was nichnas into these issues. But there are people who have really looked into these things, or at least have talked about them. I don't know how many sources there are about these things, but I would imagine the Hillel that this would be relevant to that. But I'm not sure. It seems like a good question to me, though. So again, back to the bottom of the page. So says the Minchas Chinuch so far, I mean, really just quoting the Rambam. Again, we're building up to something. We're getting up to something good now. And just so when you thought the Rambam was going to be makel on you, it's a rope-a-dope. The Rambam is drawing you in, but he's about to clobber you. But right now, the Rambam lulls you to sleep. He draws you in, says, oh, I have a big kula. Get an usher of a bus or tamea. You thought you did two things wrong? No, you did nothing wrong. However, skip a line. In the immediate next halacha, achareza, the next halacha in the Rambam, b'halacha vav, Kosav haRambam sham, to haOchel giran noshil shel nevela o treifa o shel ola. What if you ate a giran nosha not of a tmeya, not of a lion, but of a cow that died because it got shot. Or a cow that was shechted, maybe not in Pottsville, but somewhere else, but it turns out that it had a trefa. Then, what happens? You ate the ginanosha of that. Says the Rambam, chayiv shtayim.
That means
you're chayiv both on the Isra ginanosha and on the Isra nevelu or trefa. Mishim ginanosha, mishim Isra abba machmas, Isra kolel. Now, before we start analyzing this Rambam, we need to make sure we understand it. Okay, I'm going to erase this. Can everyone see this? This is a big kula. Ginanosha of a behema temeya. Oh, for two. No Yisurim whatsoever. However, now, says the Rambam, in the next halacha, we go from batting zero to batting 1,000. What if I eat the Gid HaNasha of a, not a Behema Tmeya, we did that already, a Behema Tahora, which is a Nevela or a Trefa? Says the Rambam, din ginanosha poshes. Is it a ginanosha? Fine. Then says the Rambam, you're also, whoops, over on whatever the machalos asuras will call it, whether that's trace or nevel, etc.
How about the poshek? I mean, how about?
You could be machalik. Very
good, good, good.
So the chiluk would be like this. When the
Rabbi Shimon Allen is for Gidanosha, I'll Gidanosha, but that's Behema Tmeya. This is a Behema Tahora.
Okay, so the principle, what is the principle of the Misha Basaro?
No, Basaro is Mutter. Basaro implicitly is Mutter.
Then you have the problem that Allen was mentioning in Israel Hollis.
So that's what the Rambam refers to is it's an Isra Kolo. Because it's a broader Isra, that will yeah.
So maybe you can make a chiluk to say that when the Isra is a natural born Isra, then you're going to say that it's the Gid HaNasha is going to be Mutter. But here, the reason why it's Isra is because it had a Zayt Tikazak. In other words, when it was born, it was Mutter. So that's why he has as far as to say that it would be
good. But let me ask you a different question. Good, 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 all good. But let's think about something more basic. The Rambam, why did he say that there was no Isser of Machalos Asuros on the Gid HaNasha of the lion? Because he holds Ein Begidin Benos En Tam, it's as if you ate a piece of wood. So even though there's no taste and it's as if you ate a piece of wood, you're still over Gid HaNasha, because that's the chassid, that's Parshas VeYishlach, that's the third mitzvah. But what about this? If L'shitoso, according to the Rambam, Ein Begidin V'Nos En Tam, it ate, not Basar, how can you be over on Machalos Asuros? That's not my kasha. That's the kasha of the Kesef Mishnah. Take a look now in the...
According to the sheet of the pivot, right? So,
if I have a Behemoth Temeya,
right?
You're over.
Because you ate a Gid?
No. No. That's exactly. Reb Shimon holds.
Because you ate a
Treif. Only one Isser, but the Isser would be of Treif. Treif, the way we use the term. I don't mean Treif up here. You ate a line, you ate non kosher. Okay? But now look at the Kasha. Zok the Kesef Mishnah, a few lines from the bottom. Tama b'shem Arashba b'tshuvis came with the Ein Begidin no sentam l'shitoso according to the Rambam. Gidin have no taste, they're like wood. Imkei nihi dechayi b'shem gid. Okay, I have to grant you that the Isra Gid HaNasha is going to apply. That's the pasuk. That's the mitzvah we're doing. Aval eich yichayiv al nevela v'treifa. Ha'ochel megidin potter kinremi shas shom peites amet veiz. But l'shitas the Rambam, the way he paskins, the Gemara seems to itself say it. According to the Mandam or Ein Begidin Benos En Tam, how could you be over on the veil or treifa? It's if you ate a piece of wood. It's not you ate a piece of treif. Meila that you're over on Gid HaNasha, that's exactly the cost of. But why should you be over on this or treifa or nevelo? And he adds, I'm not sure this is really a new question, even though he makes it out to be, or it's just another wee way of saying the same thing. But gam de'er Rambam Sostrin, the lama b'tmeya poter mihai taima de'em ginnos and tam. The previous thing we had on the board a minute ago, that behem b'tmeya, you're not over on the isser of trace. Because ain begin minosin tam, but when avela yechayim mishum nevela, but yet now you could be, you know, either it's begin minosin tam or ain minosin tam. Which one is it? So he doesn't really give you an answer here. So we're gonna have to do that outside. Because ayin achronim the crazy of blasi b'yanis and ibshid the shara melech, and then he says, take a look at what I myself say. Lekama mitzvah reish pei aleph ozayin yeshuvim lekushesos. So he himself doesn't tell you. And we'd have to go to a different volume of the Minchas Chinuch to get the answer inside. So in the next few minutes, I'll tell you what he's alluding to outside. I looked it up. Very interesting. Two similar, but interesting answers. I didn't take a look at the Kresi Uplesi. Could be that he says the same thing as the Shara Melech. I'm not sure. But basically, the first answer that is quoted from the Shara Melech is as follows. The Torah, he says, the Torah was achshavei for achila. When the Torah said that gira nosha of a kosher animal is usur, that means that even though generally we hold, according to the Rambam, ein begidin menos ein tam, but achshavei the Torah made it as if it was a maisa achila anyway, even though ein menos ein tam. But the gzeiras akosov is not limited to gira nosha. The gzeiras akosov means that it is achila. Therefore, if it can be achila for the isser gira nosha, it can also be achila for the isser of nevela or treifa. As opposed to if you're eating the gira nosha of a lion, then the Torah was never achshavei, and the Torah never considered it anything.
Why?
Because that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Because that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Al Kain, the gzeiras akosov, the gira nosha of a non-kosher animal is mutter. We don't view it as anything more than it is.
So it's always ain.
According to this man, damra ain begin menos and tam. Exactly, that's right. Correct. So instead of what the Shara Melech is adding, is instead of just saying that nu, even though it's eight, it's exeris akosov arbitrarily, if you will, that giranosha is usur, the Shara Melech is adding a knech. That the exeris akosov that giranosha is usur means not just that arbitrarily stam by fiat. On the Torah, I can say by the power vested in me, rather a slight sophistication that the Torah was achshav, and the Torah gave it a status of achila, and therefore once the Torah gave it a status of achila, and achila lechetzon, it can't be achila for one thing and not for the other. If it's achila, it's achila, it's usur. Now, what I want to point out, I don't want to focus on this because it's really the second answer of the Minchas Chinuch, which is more fascinating and has a few more complex pieces, but just to show you the difference, because we're going to be mentioning the term achshav in a second. But the Shara Melech is saying, it's not that I did something, the Torah did something. The Torah, by saying it in Asher's Osir, Alkein Lo Yochlu, that made it something more than you would have thought it would be. It's a little bit of a chiddush, though, not only because of who said, but because Achshavei and Halacha usually does not work this way. Usually what Achshavei means is that something that's not Roy L'Achila, but perhaps if I treat it as Roy L'Achila, according to those opinions that hold of Achshavei, maybe it's going to be more strict, because even if by normal standards it would be X, but Achshavei, I give it more chashivas. Achshavei miloshen chashivas. I give it more chashivas by the fact that I'm relating to it in a way that typically people don't. It's a big issue, exactly. It's a big issue, exactly, on Pesach with the medicines. Do you say that even though the chametz, which may be in a medicine, is by definition any royal achila, in any other context, you can never eat it, it would be vile. But since you want the medicine, because you have a cold, or God forbid you have something worse, and you want to take the medicine, those who are machmir on medicines on Pesach, so even though it's any royal achila, but because I'm taking the medicine, that shows that I don't think it's any royal achila, because I do eat it. Achshavei. That's those who are machmir. I'm not getting into the Pesach medicine shayla now. But that's the reason that there are some who are machmir.
Maybe the way he's saying is, in this case, it's the Torah, because people eat pig. Pig is not considered something that's not really achila.
Who said it was?
Saying, but the Torah comes to the
Gidin, of, Gidin.
No, but I'm just giving this as an example. Like, yeah. Telling us that once the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat it, all of a sudden doesn't have the din of achila.
No, he again, but it's paradoxical. It's pumfakeret. he's saying that by the Torah giving it an Isser, if it doesn't have any Shem Achila, then it wouldn't be Osir.
Ah, so just the opposite.
Just mamish the opposite. If it's only eight, then I could be over. I could be an idiot, but I'm not over. Right? Kid eats dirt. He's a fool, but he didn't do any Averis.
It must be that it has a Din Achila.
And once it has a Din Achila for Gid Anashe, it has a Din Achila for Nevela or Trefa also.
You come and say that it's got
In Echanami, even though objectively it has tamates and other kinds, because it'll have a tamates by a treif animal. It'll have a tamates by a lion. I mean, it always has tamates, but halakhically it'll be nothing by a lion, because we say Ein Begid Minos and Tam according to the Rambam, and it was never Akshivay for anything, and therefore you wouldn't be over. But I don't want to get hung up on the Sharmel, because I really want to get to, and we have 5 minutes, I don't want to hold you late. I want to tell you what the Minchas Sanech himself says later on in this mitzvah. 200 plus later that he's going to get to. And it's a very, very brilliant thing. Frektim in chaschinach azoy, the following shayla, which I alluded to a little bit already now from the Pesach shayla. Think about it for a moment. We generally have a concept called ein roi l'achila. Right? Something is disgusting, it's manuvel. Let's say you have some decrepit, disgusting ein roi l'achila pig. So mikra hadin, we would say it's ein roi l'achila, it's mutter. Why don't we ask, as a chumrus, says mechaschinach, why don't we say, anytime one guy, even if he's a Meshuggah, but no, everyone's got a right to be a Meshuggah, you ate some treif that was in a Royal Achila, maybe you should be over. I ate in a Royal Achila. But Achshave, you ate it. So obviously you don't think that it's in a Royal Achila. You ate it. For obviously, Taka, for you it's Royal Achila. Why don't we say that? So says the Emin Chaschinach as an answer to that question from the Lecha Mishnah. And the Lecha Mishnah does not give your answer, it does not give your answer. The Lecha Mishnah gives a different answer. Says the Lecha Mishnah, if you were to assume Achshave, here he doesn't mean Achshave the Torah, subjectively, that I, Gottlieb, Achshave, would come out, that I, Gottlieb, would be in violation. Why would we assume that I would want to be Achshave to trigger something bad for me, that I'd be over in Avera? Achzakinan, Rishi, lo machzakinan. We don't make assumptions about people that would turn them into Rishoyim. In other words, says the Lecha Mishnah, you could have a concept, you could have a situation where a person ate something, but that does not mean that he was achshavei for Royal Achila. En Echanami, it's inedible. I'm eating it anyway. Why? Like a kid who eats dirt. En Echanami, it's dirt. But I'm eating it. Not that I view it as food. It's dirt. But isn't it more likely to say that, no, this guy has a peculiar palate and he thinks it's food? Yeah, but if we would say that, then we'd have to assume that he's a Russia because he's eating it anyway, even though it's treif. We'd rather assume not Achshave, because if by to make it Achshave, we'd assume he'd be Usser. What's the mocker to say such a thing, this Pintaliyid, this Kutzker, Lev Yitzchak Berdichev idea? Now, the Berdichev idea, the answer is, in a real bona fide halachic way, there is a makor for this. The makor for this is, Ain awesome. Eid anum osa bilaso bilasnos. You have a person. Let's assume two pnuyos. A single man and a single girl, and they're living together. We assume that that was a bias kiddushin. We assume that they were living together for the sake of marriage, not just to live in sin. Why? Because chazaka ain adam osa bilaso bilasnos. Now that chazaka, what's pshat in that chazaka? So says the Lecha Mishnah. Says the Minchas Chinuch. It's based on the same idea. Because if we were to assume that the person was doing it for znus, then we'd be making the worst assumption about a person. We assume, all things being equal, the best thing about a person, and therefore we wouldn't assume that he's doing something to make himself a rasha. We do something to make himself a tzaddik. Now that's only step two. We're not there, we're not home yet. Step three is the Mishnah Lamelech. So the Mishnah Lamelech says, oh, that's all nice and good, or Be'erizka Berdichev, if you will, and it's nice, and Adam also be lost as znus, and assume the best of a person. But that's only if we, all things being equal, we don't have to make ourselves into a fool to assume that. But let's say this woman that he's being boel is a nida. So we know memela, there's no, you can't, it's not a mat. He's already in violation of an Isser Kares. So says the Mishnah Lamelech, then we don't assume that it's Bias Kiddushin. Once we know we're dealing with a Russia, he's already violating an Isser Kares. We don't assume that that chazakul is saving from the second Isser. Then we look at the facts as they're presented to us, and we didn't hear any Hariat Mekudeshusli. We don't pretend that there was one. We assume that he was over on both. Once there's a reglaim, the davar, that anyway, we're dealing with the Russia, says the Mishnah Melech, we don't assume this if you will, Berditchever type idea of Einadam Osabilas Abilasos. So with all of that, bringing it home, says the Mincha Aslanach Azai, back to our case. In light of all that, we can apply it to our case. Namely, you have a guy eating this gid of Nevela. So if you just saw him doing it, and ain begidden ben no same time, we assume it's like eighths. So if it would be on its own, you would say, he just eats a little gid of nusher, it's right on his plate by itself. Ain begidden ben no same time. Maybe you'll say, achshavei for him, it's no same time. No, why should we do that? Why should we assume the worst about the guy, that he's achshavei? Adarabba, let's be berditchevers and say, no, it's dirt for him. He's eating it anyway, but it's dirt. Not that he thinks it tastes good, and therefore for him he'd be over. However, says the Minchas Chinuch, that's only where all things are equal, where we can assume that. But once we know he's eating a nevela, once he knows he's eating a gid, so he's already been over on one thing. Again, what was the Chiddush of the Rambam? But not only was he over on the gid anasha, he's even over on this. We asked, how could he be over on this if he ain't beginning with no same times? Achshavei. What do you mean, achshavei? Why don't we say Ashmei by the other one? By the other one, there was nothing to get us in the door of Isser. So we could still assume he's a tzaddik. But by here, once he's already over on the Isser Gid Anasha, then he's a, that's like the guy, let me finish a little, that's like the guy with bold and Nida. Once he's already gotten in the door of Isser, he's already loses his chazakah of doing good things, and at that point we can assume Achshavei, it must be that he's eating it because he likes it. And if he likes it, then even though ordinarily the Rambam holds in beginning and end time, for this case, Achshavei, he taka holds no same time, and therefore according to the Rambam will be over on both.
How's that different than the first?
Because the first one was, aside from that, it's a lot more complex, but the first one was that Achshavei the Torah.
Oh, okay.
Here it's Achshavei the guy, here, which is more typical of the way Achshavei is used.
But he gave him the Amos Minyan.